Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Alex Shiasky as my special expert guest. Alex, co-founder of Manitoba Harvest Hemp Foods, has been involved in industrial hemp-related businesses for more than 15 years. As an early pioneer, Alex played a very important role in the legalization of industrial hemp in the early 90s in Manitoba. Alex was a member of the group that grew the first 5 acres of industrial hemp for seed since the 1940s. Alex continues to break new ground with Manitoba Harvest as they further the awareness of the amazing properties industrial hemp this plant has to offer. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Alex, you've got a strong connection to the industry, and you've been involved with this particular part of it in the supply and in hemp, and we're going to get into that. But how did you develop an interest in the industry as a whole originally?
I guess, you know, it kind of pretty much they happened simultaneously as I learned more about hemp nutrition and the values of hemp seed and what it has to offer. It was kind of my, I guess, gateway health food to all these other amazing health foods and just the healthy lifestyle. So I guess it was really getting connected with hemp seed nutrition, open up the doors, and that's where my adventure into this healthier lifestyle also took part.
A lot of people get into it because they were sick and they went into conventional medicine and it didn't work and then they came to the health. Was that part of your experience?
No, I did have a little bit of a family upbringing. There was very minimal white sugar or white flours in our house as I was growing up, and you know, our snacks were granola bars, and so I guess it did play a bit of an important role for me as growing up, but I didn't really understand it as much as I came to understand it, but I guess it was there through my earlier years as well.
Right on. So now you're connected with Manitoba, and you're part of the organization, and maybe you can tell us who and what Manitoba Harvest Hemp Foods is all about.
Manitoba Harvest started in 1998, and it was myself and two friends, Mike Fata and Martin Moravchik, who are still, we're all business partners still and friends, and I guess the company started back in 98 as we learned more about hemp seed and hemp nutrition, and that there was all these amazing opportunities that could be created by producing products from hemp seed. And at that time, there were no hemp products available. So we thought there was this opportunity to create this company that was connected with the Manitoba farmers, that was connected with Manitoba agriculture, that was a Winnipeg-based company, and kind of just creating some value-added agriculture from hemp seed.
So you're actually growing your own hemp, and then you're processing it, and then you're putting it into like supplement forms, and then you're the supplier that supplies those products to the retailers?
Yes, we're a vertically integrated company, you know, meaning that we grow the hemp under contract with farmers that are actually shareholders with the company, and then we do all of the processing at our processing plant in Winnipeg. We do the direct manufacturing, the direct growing. We then supply a network of distributors across North America that then supply our retail partners.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is I'm just trying to think in my mind how this stuff is grown. So maybe, can you tell us like how you actually grow hemp, what kind of soil you need, and how a farmer actually puts it in the ground, and how long it takes to grow, that kind of thing?
I guess it's a 110-day cycle. 110 to 120 days we plant, right about now actually, weather permitting, right around the last week of May, first week of June, and harvest is, you know, sometime towards the end of September. It's basically just seeded the same way other crops would be seeded with power seeders, and you just kind of go down rows and, you know, seed the plants. Similar with harvesting, it's just using traditional combine harvesting. Most of the hemp we grow is certified organic, so it's following, of course, all the certified organic farming practices. And we also, the crops that are not certified organic, we grow pesticide-free, so we're not spraying any herbicide or pesticide. So we're growing both certified organic and our pesticide-free version.
Nice. Now, during the cycle, what is the ideal weather condition for growing hemp?
Ideal weather would be, you know, you want decent moisture in the ground, not over moist. You know, a little bit of rain to begin with, but then it does, you know, hemp really thrives in a dry climate because it has a very deep tap root. So that root is always, that's what kind of adds some strength and vigor to the plant, is that it's always, that tap root is just searching out all the minerals in the deep soil and searching out the moisture. As well, it helps to break up compact soil. And I know you mentioned something about soil. And the soil, it's kind of a sandier, dry soil is ideal for growing hemp.
And how high does the plant get when you harvest it?
When we first started back in 1995, we actually grew 5 acres of hemp. Those plants were growing up to like 12, 15 feet, which was pretty crazy. It was more like a forest in the prairies. Now we're more utilizing shorter varieties that are growing to about 3 to 4 feet.
So where do you get the seeds from? Is that part of the control issue with Health Canada?
At first, our varieties of seed were from Ukraine, Finland, you know, mostly Eastern European varieties. There are actually Canadian varieties now being grown, so there's domesticated hemp that's starting to be cultivated as well. And so the original seeds were from Eastern Europe, but they've all been now bred in Canada over the years.
So tell us a little bit about the history of hemp, Alex. Like, how far back does it go in cultivation, and where has it been popular, and how it changed? Tell us a little bit about the history.
The first recorded history, from what I understand, goes back well into about 5,000 years in Chinese recorded history. It's part of Chinese pharmacopoeia as far as hemp seed being used to treat different ailments. So I think, you know, from the first writings and recordings from about 5,000 years, culture has really followed the hemp plant. It's rather interesting that everywhere we have further domesticated lands, hemp has always been there. As an example, the first crop that was grown in the New World by the American forefathers and original farmers was hemp, and hemp was a major importance that you could actually pay your taxes with hemp. It just followed people along the journey of domesticating different lands around the world. So hemp has been growing everywhere from Asia into Europe, North America, South America.
How does it compare to other plants? You know, like if you have a certain amount of land and you can grow anything on it, is hemp a profitable substance to grow compared to, say, tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever else?
It's more comparative to crops that are growing in the prairies. It's more comparable with other oil seeds. So when a farmer has a choice to either grow a canola or grow flax or grow sunflower or, you know, hemp's in the mix, because hemp is not a commodity, it doesn't fluctuate as the other different commodity grains do. So some years, canola is the best one on the block. A couple years ago, hemp was the most profitable one to grow. So it's cyclical depending on world demand for commodities. But as far as hemp being a non-commoditized grain, it's very stable. It's a pretty stable producer. There's minimal risk to growing it now. And that, yeah, it certainly can be a very profitable crop for farmers, which is exciting because it gets more farmers interested in growing hemp.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. Now, I'm a member of the BC Marijuana Party, and I'm certainly pro-choice. And, you know, I have an interest in the medicinal properties of marijuana, cannabis, sativa, indigo. You know, the marijuana that people smoke traditionally to intoxicate themselves or provide numerous benefits on different levels. But one of the first questions that comes up, and I'm sure you've answered this 1,000 times, what is the difference between industrial hemp and smoking marijuana?
It certainly has been a question that's come up over the years. I guess the similarity is that they're all part of the cannabis family, you know. So under the Latin, there's 4 different types of cannabis, you know, cannabis indica, cannabis sativa, which are more famous for their medicinal properties and therapeutic effects and recreational effects. And then there was also cannabis rooter Alice, which is one that was grown mainly in Eastern Europe and Russia. That was a more fibrous seed crop. And then out of the three of them, there was just the fourth one, which has now been called Cannabis Sativa L, and that's where industrial hemp falls under. And Cannabis Sativa L has a specific THC, very minimal, low THC content. It's grown specifically to yield seed or fiber. So unlike your medicinal marijuana, where the plants are short and stocky with lots of branches, the Cannabis Sativa L is a very long and narrow with just the one main flower where all the seed collects.
When it's harvested, is it all combined, like the leaves, the stalk, the whole plant, or do you separate the different parts of the plant and process them?
When the combine first goes through the field, it merely is collecting the seed. And then there's a second passing with a swather, and that actually cuts and bales the stalks. And right now what's happening is there are being some uses for, there's an incredible amount of uses, just there isn't the infrastructure, is not in place yet in the prairies, specifically in Manitoba, to utilize the stock. But that is changing, where the stock's going to be converted into different length fibers for different industrial applications.
I see, yeah, because I know that the crude fiber element of hemp has a lot of medicinal value and is part of the hemp food sometimes, and sometimes it's been removed.
So I think with the leaf matter, most of the leaf falls and is basically kind of composted back into the soil. That helps to remineralize the soil as well.
That's cool. That's really cool. So now, okay, I'm in America. I've been down here on tour, and as far as I know, it's illegal to grow hemp in America.
That's right.
That's true. Okay, so why does Canada have that freedom, and what happened that changed the state? Because I would assume that at one time it wasn't legal to grow hemp, and now it is. So what happened, and why is Canada able to grow it, and why isn't America able to?
A major one is that is just the size of the country, being Canada with this much smaller population and bigger land area. It just seemed that there was a more direct connection from the people to the government, and the ability to connect with the powers that be to discuss, this growing of industrial hemp in Canada was something feasible that I think in the States there's just so many more layers to get through and just so much more bureaucracy that the possibility to make hemp legal in Canada was a little easier than the U.S. challenge. And I just think the connection with the Just Say No drug campaign and all the drug czars and this very anti-drug message that's happened, in U.S. politics for decades now has also been an issue because of the marijuana-hemp connection. I think there's a feeling if you legalize hemp, then they'll be having to legalize marijuana, and it just opens up a whole Pandora's box that they're not ready to open up in the U.S., which
and
we've opened in Canada.
Say, it was originally grown down here. I believe one of the presidents actually was a hemp farmer. I mean, it has a huge, hemp tree, and it's a very practical thing, and it's actually a very nourishing plant to grow.
100%. It has a very colorful history in the U.S., it's Thomas Jefferson and George Washington were hemp farmers. The Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. The original flag sewn by Betsy Ross was on hemp linen. So, I mean, Columbus's sails were made from hemp. There's so much. Before the invent of nylon, there was only natural fibers. So it's no coincidence that hemp would have been a pivotal role over the course of history as the world's longest, strongest natural fiber. So certainly there's been a hemp connection in the New World, and I think Canada's just been able to push it through the bureaucratic process, and here we are with industrial hemp growing in Canada.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's awesome. Now, this stuff is incredibly nutritious. Why don't you sort of give us a summary of some of the most popular products that people are taking from hemp that you actually manufacture and distribute, that you make available to people as supplements?
Our first product that we ever came out with was cold-pressed hemp seed oil after learning about hemp seeds, essential fatty acid composition and balance, and that it has a really unique balance of omega-3 to omega-6. It has the GLA, the gamma-linolenic acid, that's naturally preformed. It's quite rich in vitamin E and tocopherols and antioxidants. So the hemp oil, an amazing product for your essential fatty acids. We have our shelled hemp seed, which is similar. You get all those great essential fats plus an amazing balance of protein with all the essential amino acids. And we also have protein powders, which deliver similar, either good source of fiber, or good source of protein, essential fats. And actually one of our newer products, it's the world's first hemp protein concentrate, where it's now the protein level is about 70% protein, and it's water soluble. So it's just bringing a whole new functionality to the hemp protein market.
That's fantastic, and that's very exciting because, you know, there's a whole variety of different proteins. I'm into biological value. I'm into immunological compatibility, and I use hemp, and I think hemp protein is great. I like to mix it with whey isolate. But in your mind, how does hemp compare, the protein, to someone using whey or soy or egg? And if they were to ask you that, like, which is better, or how does hemp compare, what would you say?
Well, I think, you know, you've touched on it for sure in some of the articles that you've written. And so I know I'll probably some of my information I've taken from things I've learned from you as well and things I've learned at other places. And I think one thing that really separates hemp from the whey and egg and the milk, of course, is that it's plant. So it's a plant-based protein. It has a low allergy potential, which I really like because of it being a plant-based, that there's no issues with lactose or, you know, just have any type of sensitivity to animal products. Similar with soy, people are now having sensitivity. So it's something that really delivers a very low allergy potential, but yet delivers, we market it as a whole food protein. So you're getting your proteins, your essential fats, your fiber all in one. And I think one interesting thing about the hemp protein powder is that it's made up of edistin, which is this globulin protein found specific in hemp seeds. And it's a similar protein found in the human body. So I think that's what really makes it biologically available for humans. And so it has some, and also it does have about one-third of hemp protein is albumin, which is the similar found in egg white. So it does have a very nice composition of its protein, nice composition of amino acids, and it seems to, you know, have a nice digestibility. We are in the process of doing more actual testing, and so these are something that we're going to have out towards the end of the year, the protein digestibility and biological value, etc.
One advantage I can see is that when you've got a hemp protein, you've got those beautiful fatty acids present, which would not be in the whey or the soy or the egg, and they sort of complement and help the protein in the hemp interact biologically, so that would be an enormous advantage too.
As I mentioned, as we market it as a whole food protein, so it's not, you're getting with your protein, you're getting those essential fats, you're getting, so that does make it unique from the other products that are usually more of a isolated, you know, up in your 90% protein. So our protein powders range anywhere from 38 to 70% protein, depending on which one you're using.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I think that the omega-3, the alpha-linolenic acid, the parent fat, the omega-3, now it's a 3-to-1 ratio, isn't it? Isn't it 3 times as much omega-6, the cis-linoleic? Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. It is. It's about 3.5 omega-6 to 1 part omega-3. And over the years that we've been in business, different people have changed what they believe to be the ideal ratio. At one time, and I will quote out of his book, Udo Erasmus, in his book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, stated, you know, that from his research, hemp oil delivered the optimum balance of this 3-to-1. But I think now is more, you know, we've realized how that, you know, the general population is really out of whack on our omega-3-to-6 balance. that now they're calling it more of a one-to-one or more even more omega-3. But I think that's just marketing. It really hasn't changed that the body's requirements when the body's running in tune is 3-to-1. When you're out of balance, certainly you may need to pump up more omega-3s, but the ideal ratio, they say, is about 3-to-1, which just happens to be hemp's natural ratio.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah, I'm big on a higher omega-3. I think that it's amazing. Just it has such valuable property as it relates to human chemistry. But I like to see people just raising their EFA profile in general, and this GLA, beautiful anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So now there's also the milk, too. How do you use a hemp seed milk? How's that made?
Basically, we just take the hemp seed and filtered water, grind it all up, add our different flavorings or sweetener or no sweetener. We have four varieties. We have a original, we have an unsweetened original, a chocolate and a vanilla. And that's under the Hemp Bliss. That's what it's called, the Hemp Bliss non-dairy beverage. You can't say milk in Canada, but it's a similar product to your soy or your almonds, rice, milks, etc. So again, it's unique because of hemp's natural essential fatty acid and protein composition that it is the most nutritious of all the non-dairies. When you compare the omega content or if you compare the protein content, hemp is the one that's delivering the highest content of essential fatty acids.
Now, and those seeds are delicious. I mean, I don't know whether they're hulled. I think you gave me some once. You just grab a handful and eat them. They're delicious.
We simply take off the seed from the hemp seed, and then we're left with that soft inner kernel, which we call the shelled hemp seed, and we bag that in a few different sizes. And, yeah, that's an awesome product. Real easy to use. You sprinkle it on your salads, your yogurt, stir fries, add it to smoothies. And that's just delivering, again, the excellent balance of omega fats and protein source.
The hemp butter would be like peanut butter, ground up hemp seeds, right?
Yeah, that's right. The hemp butter is, you know, we created as an alternative to, I guess, you know, peanut butter. We really felt that, you know, with all this peanut allergies and kids can't take their peanut butter to school anymore, that we wanted to create a product that was going to be an alternative to that where, you know, here you have this spread that's delivering amazing amounts of omega-3 and amazing amounts of all your essential amino acids on a slice of bread now. So it's really, it's a very functional spread. I think hemp seed itself is a very functional food with all of its amazing nutritional qualities.
And very safe for children, isn't it?
100% very safe for children. We have a friend in Vancouver, and she's the hemp mom who raised now two children on hemp, and she's vegan and her children are vegan, and I mean they've been on raised on hemp, you know, from the womb. So definitely very safe for children.
That's great. Now what about the research minded person out there, the readers? Do you know of any good books written on hemp that you could refer us to?
You know, there's two that got me, I would say the two that opened the door for me. One was called Hemp Lifeline to the Future. And another one was called, this was the original book that opened up the door to everyone on hemp, was called The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and by Jack Herrera. It's kind of looked at as the hemp Bible. It's got lots of archival information. It's where we, you know, learned about the essential fatty acids. So I'd say those two books, they're older. They've been around, you know, since the late, mid-80s to early 90s. But there's still, for my, you know, as an introduction to hemp and to what hemp can do, I think those are definitely the two best books that I could recommend. There are other more journal type of books now out there, more research. I don't have any of those titles, but certainly lots of information available on the internet as far as different.
Yeah, and speaking research of which, your website, tell us what that is and tell us what's available there. And I believe that you've got some e-commerce. You can buy it right online, your stuff, can't you?
We're at www.manitobaharvest.com, and we do have a very easy-to-use interactive online store where all of our products are available, our bulk products are available. Our website, we're revamping it, so over the next few months it's going to have a whole new look, a whole more function to it. But yeah, so our products are available, and we have loads of information on our website as well, lots of recipes too.
Oh, that's great. Now, you've got your your own brand name, are you also doing sort of the private labels? Are there other products out there that actually are using your hemp that you produce and manufacture?
I mean, the company started as with the Manitoba Harvest brand, and the Manitoba Harvest brand was produced and created to prove that there was a market for hemp products. And then once that was kind of proven, other companies and other people wanted to get involved. So we have since expanded our opportunities as well. So we do offer a private label. We do offer bulk and ingredient supply along with our branded products. And so our branded products are distributed internationally now. We're actually just starting to work with a couple of the large distributors in the UK. We're just sending a 20-foot container next week over to the UK and distributors in Japan, Sweden, Norway, a little bit in the Caribbean, and, you know, expanding more and more all the time of our international business too.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, I'll take the ride down to the Caribbean and check that one out for a while. Sounds good.
Well, we're in the Barbados now.
So, oh, really?
Yes, soon to be in Jamaica and maybe Trinidad. The world market is, you know, there's people everywhere in the world that are looking for healthy choices and to lead a healthy lifestyle. So hemp just fits in, whether you're a mom and pop or you're an extreme athlete. We work with everyone from grandmas to grandkids to, you know, armchair athletes to your extreme, as extreme as you can get athletes. So it kind of fits. It's the nice thing about hemp, where it just can fit everyone's lifestyle.
Well, you know, I've been impressed with your dedication to quality. You're a genuine individual. You represent the industry well, Alex. I mean, that's why I have no problem whatsoever leading people to your website and encouraging them to consume hemp and trust the Manitoba Harvest name, because your quality control is really a function of your dedication and your integrity and your authenticity. So, because, you know, quality control is an issue, and we've got some really good standards in Canada, but in particular, the hemp that you make is very reliable. So I just want to encourage everyone out there to put your trust in the Manitoba Harvest line and use those products and get to the website and check it out. Alex, our time is gone. It's been a great interview. Thanks for enlightening us about hemp and all the properties it has and the supplements that we can choose and bring into our healthy lifestyle. It's absolutely fantastic. So if you were going to leave us with a take-home message and we're walking away thinking about what's been said today, what do you think is the most important thing to retain in our mind about hemp?
I would say the most important thing is that it's more than just taking a product that's going to, you know, create well-being within your own, your life. You're connecting yourself directly with Canadian agriculture and sustainable agriculture. So not only are you doing something that's good for your body, you're doing something that's good for the ecology, good for the environment. So it's a win-win on all the sides that, you know, every time you're buying an organic hemp product, you're helping to remineralize the soil. So not only do you get to, you know, enjoy the benefits of a healthy lifestyle, you also can feel good about supporting sustainable agriculture in Canada.
That's fantastic. Alex is the co-founder of Manitoba Harvest Hemp, and it's been our pleasure to have him as our special expert guest on today's edition of SNU. Alex, we thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Corey, and always appreciated your support over the years, and all the best to you and the family, and enjoy your travels.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Alex.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent your lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.